Right, good evening, everyone. I'm privileged to share with you tonight the word. Usually I sit in a class and talk to like 11 to 14, 13 year olds, and that is not an easy feat. they've got some tough questions, you know, that they ask you, and they want to know stuff, and they ask you straightforward. We as adults sometimes also have a manier om iets te sê. We've got a way of saying something in such a way that we don't really, you know, we don't feel comfortable of saying it like it is. And they're not. They just say it as it is. The way they feel, their fears, their hurts. Our principal usually says that to the parents, if you don't believe all the stories that you hear at home from school, we promise that we won't believe all the stories that we hear from your home. I think that's because children just say whatever is on their hearts. And may we tonight be like children when we're going to look at God, who He is. And it will just be probably a little drop in the emmer. Remember, I'm from the Free State originally, so my English is at another level. I don't have much of a structure. I just want to share with you some thoughts. Let me first say what's the name of my sermon. That is how do you kill a lion on a snowy day? Or how to kill a lion on a snowy day? I think all of you had that question somewhere in your lives. How do I kill a lion on a snowy day? The children definitely have those thoughts. But trust me, you'll see later that you actually had that thought, you just didn't know it. And the way I came about this, I was thinking of when there's a friend of mine that we only see each other like, nowadays just, I don't even know, once a year, maybe less. But when we get together, what do? We sit and we chat about all the things we did. First of all, in adversity, when we met, and there's some great stories when we were at varsity. Yeah, this Bucky, this Nissan 1400 Bucky. And those things, they are just awesome. They don't die. They might look like they want to die, but the engine just keeps on running. And I remember the one time it was like inter varsity, and we took a little braai. This size little braai. And the amazing thing is, one thing that we didn't struggle with was drinking, all that stuff. We struggled with a lot of other things, but that's one thing, we knew what we were doing. Okay, so it was nuchter. It was wonderful. I remember all my varsity years. And so we struggled to get this fire going, because we were there on the campus. We stayed off campus, and we went to the campus to look at all the interver, every course is doing something. And we couldn't get this fire going. And we came up with this bright idea that I will sit at the back of the buggy with the braai, and you will drive. So when we drive, you get this lack of wind going. So we were driving through campus with this little fire going there at the back, and I'm braaiing horses. So things like that. And there's some interesting stuff that we did. Ek het verkeersman gespeel, toe stamp twee kar mekaar amper, toe hardloop ons weg. Lekker goed. But after we sit down and we chat about those things, how do we feel? We build each other up by just talking about that. You know, me and Mariki has also a lot to say when we just sit and we can just chat about Before the children and after the children. It's almost just voor Christus en na Christus. It's like a whole new world, you know. And ons lag lekker. We just laugh lekker about stuff. And yes, there's some heartache stuff as well. And then we realized that even the bad stuff, it's okay. We came through it together, which is awesome. Same with my friend. There's some bad stuff that we came through together. And luckily I don't know him, but the one day he phoned me, it was bad. Where he just said, "Dirk, my wife left me." I'm like, "No way." And it just happened like that. It's like, shoo. And I was geslaan. Yeah, and I just went to Bloemfontein. God just opened a door that I could fly there and just hopefully encourage him, but just listen to him. And how he told me, how he just cried and everything. And it's amazing how God, it's not lekker, but God gave me twice. And actually, heard a bit dreams to him. Twice I dreamed where Mariki almost left me. And I got that fear. I could, in a way, experience a bit what he had to experience for days. I just experienced one moment almost. And sure, that was hectic. And yet, even there, we were talking about the old days. Because we don't see each other now so much, we were talking about those days. And we encouraged each other. But it was fun. Heil na lachan. So lekker. And may I tonight, may God help me that tonight we can talk about God in that way. Because I think we miss that. We know a lot about God sometimes, but we don't really know God in a sense of, well, we do know him, but we must talk about him more. Talk to each other about God. We don't need this holy moly, I don't know, I give you a verse, you give me a verse. That's awesome. The word is very powerful, but what about that? You know, can I share with you how God is truly personally involved in my life? And we need to encourage each other with that. And I think we also need to talk more about who God is. And I think in that way, we're going to fear God more. We're going to have holy fear. We're going to have this holy fear of God. I think we struggle to understand it because we don't have kings anymore. You don't walk into a place where it'll just kill you straight away. If you come into that door and this is the king sitting here, I mean, you're not even going to get close to the king. He will be killed. Unless the king lifts his, what do you call that thing? Scepter, yes. Unless, if he lifts his scepter, the gods will leave you alone and you'll be able to talk to him. I mean, that's even the king's wives. Ja, that's a bit rough. Van ons denk, yes, that's a lekker geweest om soveel macht. But no. But I mean, we don't understand it, I think. And yeah, if we can get that fear of God, because if we as children of God don't fear God, how do we expect the world to fear him? It's just, yeah. Because, and I'm talking to myself as well. Do I really fear God? Do I really honor him? Do I really want to listen to him and do what he tells me? Because I love him, yes, but I also fear him. A holy fear. Because if I'm not like that, I mean, how can I expect others to be? And I think we sometimes see it around us where it's just chaos. People just do whatever they want, whenever they want. Now, a scripture, I can put on Bible look, yes, you saw. A scripture in Psalm 23, which is a psalm we most of us know. Psalm 23, verse 5, it says that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Okay, so what has that verse got to do with tonight? It's interesting. I watched a program once where the guy said he took this whole psalm and he just brought it back to what it meant in those days. How does it work? Why do they talk about the staff and what about the oil? A funny thing is he said that the shepherds, what they will do late in the evening, late in the afternoon, just before the sheep must calm down and be rustig, they will actually take oil and rub it onto the sheep. Op hulle koppe. They will just do that on their heads and rub them in, and there they go. And the funny thing is, a lot of them says that if you don't do it, you don't really sleep that evening, because alles by onrustig. And they've tried to. Alles by onrustig. Ek weet nie wat gaan hulle om doen nou nie. Ek kan hom nou seker pop. Dankie, Dani. Net vir 'n case ons aandag of leibaarheid hier het, want dag het ek niks daarso. Alles net onrustig. So they don't know why, but they do it. And in a way, I feel that talking about the fact that we need to encourage each other, talking about God, who He is, and what He's done for you, not just at church, not just at cell group, wherever you go, just tell people about it. Your friends, which is easy, or your Christian friends, but also tell those people who are not saved at work. Tell them, why not? But not in like this holy smiley way, just really like, yes, like, jy sal dit nie glo nie. Guess what happened? And and not because you have to. We need to really come back to the place where we want to tell people about who this awesome God is. And in that way, somehow, with like that oil, we kind of like, we don't understand how and why, but people want to be around you because you're talking, they want to hear more about this God of yours. Because if I have to think about the people that are persecuted in the world, which is actually more Christians are persecuted than those that are not being persecuted, and ons dinkie so daarin, we think it's only a small number that's persecuted in the world. No, we are actually a small number that's not being persecuted. But if you go to them and you have to talk about God, then I wonder the messages that's going out today. A lot of them, I feel, is like the self-help messages. You know, if you do this and this and this, and God will bless you, and in this way you can overcome this thing and overcome that thing. Yes, there's a place where you need to ask God, how do I deal with this? What's your principles on something? But those principles need, you still need God. Without them, you're nowhere. So if you go to people in persecuted countries, you want to convince them that if you are not like blessed and things are going well with you and you're in a job that you really like, I wonder how they're going to feel when you go away there. Because their circumstances are that if you're a Christian, chances are that you are going to be persecuted. You might not even get a job. And are you going to feel bad about it because you're not getting this job and you're praying for this open door and you do all these things? Or what are you going to share with them? Are you going to share with them that in the storm, Christ is with you? He knows about you. You know it can actually go worse with you. But why do they want to know Christ? Because Christ is changing them. It's because of who Jesus is. They want to know more and more and more of who Jesus is. And they see it in other people's lives. When we talk about people to people about God, when we want to encourage them, our lives must be in right standing with God as well. The reason I say this, we had a Oom called Oom Piet. I think everyone needs a Oom Piet in their lives, because he's a great storyteller. And we met him there in the Kruger National Park, just next to the Kruger National Park. There's a place called Marlof Park. Now, that place is next door to Kruger National Park, and in those days, there weren't even a fence. There was hierdie geroeste ou doringdraaitjie. There was like nothing. The animals can go through. Lions, buffalo, anything can just go past through there. Nowadays, they've hyped it up a bit, so the animals can't go through that easily. But this one, Piet, will sit there at night and then tell us all these stories about die groot wild jagter stories. You know, these big game hunter story thingies. Because they will always call him to come and sort something out. So they will call him if there's a lion that went out of the Kruger National Park into someone's land and ate all the cattle and stuff like that. And he will be the guy that will go and kill that lion, because they have to kill him, or tranquilize him for that matter. But in those days, that was no long term. Those days, they wouldn't like tranquilize the stuff. They just killed him. Clink it for me. Yeah, it is a shame until you met that lion. Meet that lion. And Pete will sit there. And it is so cool. He's got this pipe, né? And he will sit there. Now remember, we sit in this little lapa, and then you just hear the animals. And you hear the lions going. And I'm like, oh, that first time we went there, né? It sounds like lions, like, there we check his ears. I said, the keys on. And yeah, he's just going to on. That from that bungalow where we stayed, and I'm like, oh, Pete, they're close. We must talk softly. And he's like, no, that's like 3-5 kilometers. Ooh, okay. At first, you don't really believe him, and then later on, you realize, well, that's true. But he will talk, and then he will stop. At first, the first time I heard him, he will talk, and then he just stops. And I'm like, okay. He's probably done now with the story, but that's not a nice story. I mean, it just stops. You see the flicks die kijk and think you're not good gebeuren, and all the names come up. Same thing. And I'm like, yo. And I almost want to go and get something. And he looked like, yeah. And then he jumped out of the bush. And I'm like, wow, yeah, yeah. And then they fought with a trekkie. And I tell you, we listened to this stuff. And one day, he usually went for an early walk. And one day he said, don't you guys want to also join me? And then my friend is like, yes, yeah, we want to. And it was when we won in varsity. And also to a big lady, we were a bit late that morning. And we got up, and Pete was already gone. And I thought, yeah, we'll also, no, we will meet up with him in the road. And we were walking. And now, here's the river. That's the Kruger National Park. And here's the like a pikey, the road there, and we're walking. And as we walk, we see Pete there with binoculars. I'm like, well, it's probably seeing something across the river. And as we come closer, no, I don't know why he used binoculars, but as we came closer, there's a buffalo standing right in front of him, just a inky on, just a little bit further. And we come closer, and he looked at us, and he says, and we just stopped. And the next moment, that buffalo turns, and I mark so, sorry, a blaster. I tell you, it was the scariest day of my life. I was like, and I started doing that, and he's like, no. And we stand, why is that a column? He's like standing there, and I call my brook nut. And he's like, he's so calm. And just, it's almost like a movie. There comes a car, and he's like, looks at the car, and he turns around, and he just runs. And the next moment, one was lying here in the bushes. We didn't even know about him. But when Pete is arrested, I get my eyes. And there he goes also, he goes off. And that day, I realized that this one, Pete, is so rista. It's not just his stories that he tells. You can believe him. Because, I mean, he's so chill. Why do I tell this whole story? Because I think sometimes we might be like this. We sing these amazing, happy songs, and we like, yeah, God is so awesome. And then, when the rubber hits the road, we're like, okay, I don't know if God is that great. But guys, he is. And we just need to tell each other that. And we're going through tough times, but it's okay. Because when we get through those tough times, someone else, like me and my friend, get there, and that person can truly just say, stop. Don't walk away. Relax. God is on his way. These things that are here trying to scare you, they'll run off. Just stay calm. Because if you're going to run, they're probably going to run after you. And this question, how to kill a lion on a snowy day? Let's get to that question. So we can go to the next slide. It's a multiple choice question. Next one. Let's see if you can answer these. How do you kill a lion on a snowy day? Right. Next one. Ek moes dit so doen, ek weet nie hoe om my goeders in uit. Phone a friend. Jy weet mos hierdie millionaire. Who wants to be a millionaire? Do you think it's A, phone a friend? Do you think it's B, hand him your last piece of sandwich? C, pray that he's a vegetarian? I try to make it as difficult as possible. D, call your mother-in-law. Well, I must say my mother-in-law is awesome because, yes, I can bet well. She can pray. So that will be my first choice in any case. E, throw him in a pit and wait for it to snow. And then F, all of the above. I always liked those questions when I was a student. All of the above. You can't clue what you are. Students, don't you like that? It's like, all of the above. Yes, I'll take that one. So one of them must be right. So and then the lecturer makes the mistake of not understanding that thing. What you just said there is all of the above might be right. You just need to go and look, lecturer. So yeah. So what is the answer? Let's have a look there. The correct answer is E. Throw him in a pit and wait for it to snap. Do you know that? It's true. I'm going to show you in the Bible that it's true. So if you ever met up with a lion, go and find a pit and throw him in there. And just wait for it to snow. Then you can answer this difficult question in your life. What is the next one? Next slide. Dasa. Benai, son of Jehoiada, so something, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel. It's groot woorde. Performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. There you have it. And that's why I said in the beginning, we don't fear God anymore like we should. And listen, guys, I'm talking about myself. For me, it's much easier to preach about things in my own life and something else, and that's why I think I preach about this, because yes, we will probably throw the sandwich and see what happens. We will phone a friend. That's the first thing we want to do. We're not going to pray. Pray that he's a vegetarian. No, just I don't know. I don't think it's going to work. Throw him in a pit? No way. Have you ever seen a cat that is like in a corner and he wants to get out and you're in the way? I mean, a cat is just, yeah. So imagine a lion. Guys, it must be so scary. A lion in a pit. I'm like, but that guy just went in there. And that, just for interesting sake, that he struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. There's a word in Hebrew that they don't really know, that mightiest. The Hebrew word sounds like lion. So some of the translations translated it lion-like warriors. Now we see movies about this amazing warriors, and I mark flicks from the owns two heaviers. This guy killed two of them, and then he went and killed the lion. He was a friend of a friend. He was actually King David's. If you, in these days, if you have the Secret Service that protects the president, he was the head of the Secret Service. So I think David felt quite safe with this guy. He also slayed a giant Egyptian, almost as big as Goliath. His father or his grandfather was also a very mighty warrior. And he was actually... his father was a Levite. He was a priest. He was a priest. So to have a pastor like that, you don't have to worry about people causing trouble, do you, in those days? But I mean, this guy, he was how can I put it in our terms today? He was a Christian. He knew God. There's no way that you're going to jump into a pit with a lion if you don't know God. Well, you can, but you're not going to get out of there. But he went in there, killed the lion. And I don't say go and jump into a pit with a lion if God doesn't tell you to. Because that we also see. Where I think where we just rush into a thing and we said, God, help me. I go in faith. And we don't have faith in God. We've got faith in our own faith. It doesn't work like that. You know? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We need to look to God for that. And on that question, how do you kill a lion on a snowy day? Ask God. Yes, jump into a pit. It was just a joke, but we want answers for our questions. That's how we are. We want answers. God gave us a person, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came, and he is our answer. But we need to get back to that place again of really knowing Christ, who he is in, through us. And we don't have to be this amazing, awesome warriors. Christ will put us in a situation where he knows that his strength through you will carry you through that. You will be able to kill a lion in a pit on a snowy day if God needs you to. But it's interesting enough, the same way they said of David, here they say that he struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. David, King David, just before he fought against Goliath, he said to the king, to one interesting thing, he said to him, I killed a lion and a bear. Who is this guy? You know? It's almost like God taking both of them, building their faith, showing them what he can do. And then they have faith in God. Not in their own strength, in God. And it's about God's honor, God's glory that precedes that. I remember a story, I probably told you before, there was a pastor that said that they trusted God for, a dishwasher. Because they really needed a dishwasher. Only needed, it was a drawer. To dry clothes, because it was a tumble dry. It was really hectic because they're a family and they struggle getting this clothes dry and everything. And they prayed and asked God, but he really had on his heart that God, for them, it's important, and he trusts God will give it to him. And then later on, he thought, nah, this is not going to work. He's going to go to the shop and then he's going to buy it on credit, which in his heart didn't feel was the right thing. And he went to the shop. Bought it. As he stopped in front of his house, he saw there's a bucky standing there at his house. And then it was one of his friends that came to say to him, listen, God just put on my heart to give you guys our tumble dryer. And then he said that from that day, when he goes through a tough situation, he goes to that tumble dryer. And he says he just stands there. And then he just prays to God, say, God, please come through for me in this situation. Just that just reminded him of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. You know, when you have no more answers, I think that's a great place for God to work. It's a place where God can really move in our lives. Sometimes I think we are a bit too clever for ourselves. And we just want, yeah, we want all the answers, but I think we also think we have got all the answers. Laat ek my preek begin. I just want to continue here. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff I just wrote down here, what I just want to share with you. This is what I wanted to share, is when you go through a situation, God doesn't always change that situation. Okay, we focus so much on the situation and how we can change it, and we read all these books on how can I change this thing, Christian books, and nothing happens, and we forget that God is with us in the storm, and God knows. When Jacobus that other day preached here, it was so awesome when he actually said, you know, what took him through that tough time was the fact that God knew. And that's the big thing. God, I just need to know that God knows. I've realized, and when you were younger probably as well, Mark, sometimes when we were at home, our children would just play. They will be somewhere in a room, and they'll just play. And now and then they will run in, just check if we are there, and then they go back again. I can go to Aquaplane was when I was younger. It gave me a kind of peace just to know that my dad is somewhere there. The moment he comes and says, listen, I'm quickly going to go to the shop, or listen, I need to go away for some time. Hectic. I see this as a teacher as well, the children. Some of their dads have to leave for like a week, or some for months. You, those children are just not the same. No way. You can see it. They are so uncertain. But just to know that God is close, just to know that He knows, is so awesome. And that's why I say we need to encourage each other. Remind each other that God is for you, He's not against you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And we see so many examples in the Word. And we see awesome examples where things happen that we just realize that, shoo, this can only be God. And in our lives as well. Just an interesting fact, Benai's whatever, his name is means that Yahweh delivers, or the son of Yahweh builds up. And yes, like when I did this sermon thingy, I just thought of this building each other up. And the first scripture I got was this 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. I didn't put it on the slides, that one, I think. It says here that, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. And when I read this, just before I came to church, actually, I saw this little info. I thought, wow, that's cool, God. That's so cool, because that's really what I want to bring across, that we need to build each other up, but not in a humanistic way. Where we, almost like Jacobus said all the time, like, just encourage each other and that's it. There's nothing, there's no substance. But may there be substance. May we walk on the Word of God and encourage each other. I think that's why God says that people will see that you know God by the love among you. I think I've got it right, that one. Because that's important. That's how we can encourage each other, in building each other up, in knowing who God is. And it's so lacquer to tell a story for your children about God, especially when they hear it for the first time. I mean, tell a little boy about Samson. Yes. Samson is like, wow, that next day, that kid will go out there and you get a phone call from the principal saying that he took he two other kids. And like, wow, what's going on? No, I'm Samson. I'm Mark Squinpoppy. But they are so excited. And I think sometimes, like God said, we must become like children again. Getting excited about the Word. Getting excited about what God wants to put in our lives. And not being discouraged by the world. But build each other up in faith. And go out there and be mighty men and women of God. How do mighty men and women of God look nowadays? You know? Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And we say that to each other. Act, be recognized. If I said something to you and I don't do it, come tell me. Listen, you said this or you said that. Let's stick to what we need to do. Because people are watching us. That are not in the church, that are not Christians. And they want to know, are we mighty men and women of God? If the pawpaw hits the fan, you know, what's going to happen? And we don't want that. We can go to the next slide. Who's your hero? You know, who's your hero? Let's just go to the next slide. I think it's the last slide. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah. And who's your hero? Who is the one that you really love? You know, you just love him because he's just so awesome and he's just really your hero. We can be so glad. Ek is nog baie bly. Ek is Hannah en Marnie se hero. I don't know about all the not so lekker goed about their dad, unless I get angry and I'm upset when they did something wrong. And I'm not that heavy. But they are so awesome, just like 5 minutes afterwards. Ah, Papa. They're still finding it. But yeah, you know, may we in our hearts, in our eyes, that people can see it, that we are just in love with God. And we honor him. And we really know that he is God and Christ living in and through us. Because I think if you met up with this Benai guy, I don't know how you say his name, I think you would have seen it in his eyes. You know, that fearlessness, that trusting God, that being through it, but not alone. You know, not going through it alone. Knowing where his strength comes from. And it's rubbing off. And that's why I talked about David. David had mighty men around him. And if you go and read what those guys did, I mean, they were giant slayers. They were lion killers. They were, I mean, there's no way that you can be part of their gang if you haven't done something like quite amazing. But the best part of all, it's not you, it's God. It's that you must not miss. And I think they loved God. Yes, there was one or two or so that went a bit haywire at the end, but yeah, to love and be in love with God. And then that will just overflow. I'm gonna offslide with something that I did mention before as well. In another preek thingy, we went to a camp, and it was one of those camps where it's not so, children don't want to go there, they have to, because it's one of those church camps where you have to go, that one where everyone has to go. Your dad can be like, I almost gonna say Satanist, your family, but you have to go. And the children that got there, yes, they were like, some of them, they were like hectic, right? Alles also my hier. Hulle sê jy vloek as hulle wil. They just go and vang 'n smoke, jy sien dit wolke trek. And then there was this one girl, a redhead girl, and she was like hectic. The first evening. I had a bungalow and there was like a few dudes in my bungalow. And I was listening to them lying there. Maybe they thought like when it's dark you don't hear anything. They can't see you, so they can say whatever they like, or they're used to it. But the things they talked about and the things they said, and I thought, okay, these guys they don't know God, and they like hectic. And that other girl, she's even heavy, worse. And then in my heart, I did this little prayer, this thing of God. If you true, if you, it's strange that I prayed it, but I was so shocked. And you're so used to just the Christian environment or meeting up with people that when you get into a meeting like this where at least people want to hear about God. And if you look at people, maybe at your work and you think, that guy, maybe I'm just going to talk to him. He looks like he might be open for God. But that guy, I'm going to stay away from him. He's on my doodmark. I can lose my job if I talk to you. That girl was like that, you know, when I saw her and some of these kids as well. I thought, no way. And I said to God, God, if you cannot change, I didn't say that. I actually thought that, God, I don't think you can change this. And I wonder if you are really who you say you are. And the next evening, I couldn't be there. I had to go somewhere. And I got back that evening in the bungalow. yes, and something happened. Those oaks didn't talk about girls and about all the other not girls on them, I mean the way they spoke about girls and a lot of nonsense and stuff. And I thought, something happened. And this one oak said to him, "So Johnny, yes, I also wanted to go to the front." And I went, "Oh, Johnny went to the front." And and Johnny's just so, he says, "Yes, man, I'm just so happy and glad that I went." And I just thought, okay, that's interesting. And every morning we had a prayer session. But it was actually just us as leaders that were there praying for the kids and for the camp. And there's like maybe two or three other kids. Because it's open, they can come and pray with us early in the morning. I mean, we kind of vroeg ochtend kom bid as jy nou daar is, jy wil alvorens al wees met hulle nie. Yo, guys. That girl walked in there that morning. Sy was so, sy het so donker gelaatstrek gehad before. She was, you could see just, I don't know, she didn't smile, she was unhappy, she was probably a lot of anger, and obviously she didn't know God beforehand. That morning she walked in there. Yeah, that was like amazing. It's like, who are you? And you could, I think the sequence was so nice, Abraham came down the mountain. Moses came down the mountain. They couldn't even look at him. God changed their life. And right there, it was like, almost like God saying, "Can you see? I'm like, yeah, thank you. Not just for me, for her. But she just, that geborrel. I don't know how you say that in English, but it's just living waters flowing out of her. Saying nothing. She just walked from that door, came and sat here, and I just knew God is alive. And that's the most powerful thing. Killing a lion in a pit doesn't even compare close to that. Jesus came and he took away our sin. He just like wiped it out. And that, may people see that in us. And may we be giant slayers and lion killers. Those lions, those things that hurt other people even. May we chase those things into a pit if God says do it. That we can do it. Not because we're so amazing. Because we trust God, we know he will not put us in a situation where he's going to leave us. Okay, is there any more slides? Nothing. Great. I can't wait to see a good moment. I just want to say what was on my heart tonight. I hope you were blessed. And may we look to God. Because he is the answer to everything. And may we fear God like we're supposed to. And may we just be in love with him. And may people see it in our lives. Let's pray together. Yes, Father, we just come tonight and thank you for all the amazing, true stories in your word. Because it's your word. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus, that you came to save us. Not because who we are, but because who you are. Because you are so awesome. Father, I pray as we seek answers, that we will seek you. Because at the end, you are our answer. And Lord, yes, it may sound airy-fairy or flaky, but I really believe, Lord, it's true. We need to seek you. We need to be excited about you again. Knowing who you are, what you've done in people's lives, not just in the word, but also around us. Thank you, Lord, for all the testimonies in this church through all these years. May you get all the honor and glory for that, Father. And Father, as we go out, because that's the important part, Father, as we go out into this world, that in our workplace, that we will be you, who you made us to be. The person you've made us to be. We don't have to be this, I don't know, superhero, whatever you wanted, or have everything, know everything. but that we will be people that know you. That if anyone wants to know you, Lord, or know about you, that they will immediately know in that workplace who they can go to. Not of just what we say, but that they can see it in us, like I saw it in that girl that day. And Father, thank you that it's not in our hands. We can't make it happen. We can just come and open our hearts and say, Lord, please make it happen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.